Hey, when you talk to most people about beliefs, they think, oh my gosh, well, you just can't teach an old dog new tricks. You're right, if you don't get any leverage on the dog, but get out a big stick and get out a big carrot, and I can tell you one thing, you can teach any dog new tricks no matter how old they are. Now, for some people, it takes a bigger stick. That is, they need to get to the point where they believe this must change. And older dogs sometimes don't get to that point as quickly as younger dogs sometimes, because they haven't been conditioned to be as flexible. But some people do. And so my point is, you can do it with anybody and you can change yourself. Changing your beliefs is as easy as going on a computer and changing files. It's literally that easy, but that isn't easy if you don't know how to do it, is it? If you just go there and you don't know how to use the computer and you go banging along on that thing, you're right. You could be here for years and never change files, never get the result. And that's the problem. People say, well, I've never done it in the past. Let me give you a belief that I've already alluded to several times that I would highly encourage you to adopt. The past does not equal the future. The past does not equal the future. Gosh, if you want to know a core belief that's enhanced my life, that's one of them. I came from the place in the past where, well, gosh, I've never been able to do it before, so I can't do it now. Garbage. Even if you tried something a moment ago, remember this. Even if you tried it a moment ago and it didn't work, don't say, well, I already tried it, it didn't work. It didn't work a moment ago. Try something a little bit new and see if you can pull it off now. That's really enhanced my life, because otherwise, what we do is give up. What if Thomas Edison came from the frame, the past equals the future? He tried 9,999 times to create an electric light bulb and it didn't work. He would have just given up. He would have said, oh gosh, there's plenty of references in the past that this will never work. But see, people that produce results understand the past is the past. It can give me learning and distinctions, but it does not control my present or my future. All it is a reference, and it isn't necessarily an accurate reference. See, you want to learn from the past, but you also want to learn from the present, and you want to create a brighter future. Change your core beliefs. Let me offer you real quickly a few other core beliefs that affected my life. Another one for me that changed me completely is adopting a belief that says there is always a way. If I'm committed, there is always a way to create a result that I'm committed to. What do I mean by that? That means no matter what's going on or how impossible things look, I have this belief, and it's a gut-level belief that says if I'm committed, there's a way to turn this around. There's a way to make this happen. There's still a way to make it happen. Now, it might require a lot of money or time or outrageousness, but there is a way. Now, I know this belief isn't accurate all the time, but it's a great generalization to live by. It's enhanced my life well beyond most people. Hey, when $250,000 got embezzled and my company was $758,000 in debt, everyone around me was asking one question: how long before we have to go into bankruptcy? Or which bankruptcy court are we going to go to? Or how will we survive? I did not ask those questions. I got very angry at first, but after I got off that and turned it and started turning into a learning experience, my whole focus was, what do we need to do to make this thing work? Why did I ask that question? First of all, by asking, what do we need to do to make this thing work? I started to get answers, and I figured a way, what do we need to do to turn this around? And I started finding out how to turn my company around. In addition, though, that question came because I have a belief that says there's always a way. When everybody else said there's no way, including my own accountants, everybody around me, they said, you're going to have to go bankrupt. I said, look, there is always a way. If I'm committed, I am committed. I will find a way. And I asked better questions. Are you following me on this? Core beliefs are the crux of your life. So I want you to identify a list of beliefs that right now are limiting you. And I think you may have done that yesterday, but if you haven't, now's the time to do it. You may need to stop the tape now. But what I want you to identify is find two core beliefs to start with. And you can do this as many as you want after this, but two beliefs that are really limiting your life. I'm not smart enough. I'm too young. I'm too old. I don't have enough energy. I'm not healthy enough. People are mean. People are vicious. I can't do it because I'm a man. I can't do it because I'm a woman. I can't do it because I'm black. I can't do it because I'm white. I can't do it because I'm brown. I can't do it because I'm a Christian. I can't do it because I'm a Martian. Whatever it is. Come up with what it is that you think you can't do things for, or the thing that's stopping you, and identify two of them now, right now, and write them down as just a single sentence. Two core beliefs that are limiting your life. Stop the tape right now and jot them down. Put them in your success journal if at all possible. Go ahead and do it now, and I'll be back with you in a moment. Okay, welcome back. You should have two beliefs written down in a sentence form. Again, like, I don't have enough money, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not strong enough, or whatever it is, but make it one sentence. Or, if I had more money, then I could succeed, if you used a rule type of belief, okay? You get the format. Now, what do we do to get rid of this? Well, we've already done step one. We have identified the belief that we need to change. We got to go now to step two. And we're going to do step two, and step three and step four and step five together. And we're going to do it through a metaphorical process I've created. That sounds like a pretty complicated approach to things. Actually, it's pretty simple. By metaphor, I mean story. There is a story that I once watched that gave me a great role model for how to change people, and it really governed me, and it's a story I know you know. It's called A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Sure enough, here is a perfect example of how to change somebody who didn't want to be changed. See, it's easy to change people that want to change. By watching this film, I developed a technique I now call the Dickens pattern, and it's one of the most powerful ways I've found to change people's beliefs and their behaviors. What basically it does is, do you remember the story? Here was a guy who had no desire to change, right? In fact, in his mind, he was successful by being the way he was. He had linked up in his head that the reason he made money is because he was such a horrible person. The reality is, that was like saying, do you remember the story we talked about earlier about the knight, where people linked up my microphone being the knight? It wasn't the knight. But people sometimes in their lives link up things and go, I'm successful because of this. He wasn't successful because he was mean. He was successful for other reasons. But beyond all that, he didn't want to change, and he could prove to you he didn't need to, okay? But in one night, even though he didn't want to change, his whole world changed, didn't it? All his core beliefs and his behaviors. How? Well, three neuroassociative conditioning specialists showed up in the middle of the night. Three knackers. Three ghosts, if you will. And what did these three ghosts do? Well, they came in and used some neuroassociative conditioning, some NAC on this man. How did they do it? Number one, they got leverage. How they got him to experience, not tell him. Now notice the difference. They didn't tell him. They got him to feel and experience massive pain and relate that to his present beliefs and behaviors. Isn't that what they did? And they did it in three ways. They had him go to his past and experience all the pain that he had in his past because of those behaviors. They then brought him to the present and got to link all this present pain he was getting because of this pain that he wasn't focusing on, pain he'd been trying to delete in his life and not notice so he could stay the way he was. And then they took him to the future, where it really got compelling. And there they got him to feel ultimate pain, the ultimate pain his life would have because he lived this way. Well, between those three people in one night, they link so much pain, he would do anything to change. They not only got leverage, but if you link, again, enough pain to something, that interrupts somebody's pattern instantly. You don't have to work on any other pattern interrupts. Do you know what I'm saying? In other words, he used to link in his mind, being mean means being rich. Well, when you have that much pain, not only did they get leverage where he felt like he must change, but it interrupted his pattern. His brain said, hey, being mean means pain. So then all they had to do was give him a new association. And remember, if you interrupt somebody's pattern, they're going to look for a new pattern. In other words, once you break that pattern, there's a vacuum. And that vacuum for him was, oh my gosh, you know, they said, boy, you better treat people well. And he went out and started treating people well, and he got all the joy, didn't he? He woke up the next morning so lucky to be alive. He started giving, and people started loving him, and he started linking up, boy, giving means pleasure. Not giving means pain. His life changed. It's called the Dickens pattern, and we're going to do it.